Congratulations. And congratulations have really bad. I'd like to introduce Charlotte. She's a spiritual wild child. She's going to tell us all about her experience of love and wisdom in the context of her life. And Charlotte, come forward. She has to tell us to see you.
So she'll come right up here and everybody can get a good look at you.
Ooh, look, I get to fold the end.
Thank you.
Everybody's here and they're going to fall in love with you.
Yeah. And
look, you get the fan here too.
Uh-huh.
And it's a full air
conditioned
submission.
Yes. Great. You know, before I forget, because I usually get so carried away, I forget. I have a couple of internet radio shows, and we bought some free CDs of the shows if you guys would like that afterwards, and there's a piece of paper, I have a email list, and after I get done doing my thing, if you decide I got to get on this woman's email list, then you can go out, you can sign up out there, and we'll send you email blasts about who's going to be on the radio show and what exciting place the wild woman's going to appear next, and all the kind of groovy stuff. So, in case I do-ho, like Homer Simpson, do, and I forget to tell you, I wanted to get it out. And we have copies of a book. I wrote a book called You Are What You Love. Now, usually when I start out my talk, I start out with, oh, this was the Aladdin glass. Okay. They said, we got some water for you out there, and it's the Aladdin glass. I would know because it has purple. Ooh, oh, I forgot how I digress. Where was I, Elliot?
The book.
Right. I usually start out my talks with, how many people here have heard of Emanuel Swedenborg? Okay, it's the usual ratio. How about that? My book is called You Are What You Love. And I wish I could say, you know what? I thought up that title myself. Yeah, I know. It's cool, huh? But actually, I'm ripping off my favorite 18th century scientist mystic, Emanuel Swedenborg. He's a man that I refer to as my boyfriend. And to tell you the truth, I only rip off the best. I only steal from the best. So I went and stole from Emanuel. Yeah. Good girlfriend here.
Activate $1 to $3.
You'll notice I digress a lot. So Emanuel Swedenborg, and the reason that I rip it off him, because he says it better than I think anyone else. And he's talking about a spiritual law. It's not just like a cool name for a book or a cool name for a radio show. It's a spiritual law. And that means it's not like a spiritual suggestion or a nice warm fuzzy idea. It's a spiritual law. And it goes like this. You like the dramatic pause? I know I do too. It goes like this. You are what you love. And you love whatever you're giving your attention to. Yeah. And when I say it's a spiritual law, it's kind of like the law of gravity. When you were a little kid, before you heard about the law of gravity, before you knew about the law of gravity, even now whether we know how it works or not, we're still subject to it. And this spiritual law is the same thing. Whether you know about it, whether you don't know about it, whether you understand how it operates, you're subject to it. You are what you love. And you love whatever you give your attention to. And since there's a whole bunch of, you know, people here who haven't been introduced to my boyfriend, for those of you who already know about my boyfriend, forgive me, I'm going to go ahead and whip out some Swedenborg backstory. Because I know you probably love the guy and probably go, oh, I just can't hear enough of this anyway. So we'll do some Emanuel backstory. So my favorite mystic. Oh, look, we have a genius with us, too. I can tell because it says so on his shirt. Hi, thanks for coming. I gotta get one. Yeah. I need to get one that says troublemaker. There's some trouble. So my favorite mystic, he was born in 1688, and he died in 1772. And what I love about Swedenborg is I love telling the story about how I first came to hear about him. And when I first heard about him, they were describing him as this great scientist and that he mastered every known science in his life. No offense to you, Mr. Genius. And when I say he mastered every known science in his life, it's not like, you know, he was really smart and he dabbled in this and he did a couple of things over there. I mean, the guy mastered every science in his life. He studied with Sir Isaac Newton. He studied with Sir Edmund Halley, the guy that the Halley's Comet, the astronomer that Halley's Comet is named after. He wrote 4 volumes. On the human brain. I know. I mean, it takes me all day to write an email. He wrote 4 volumes on the human brain with the most accurate drawing of the human brain for his era. He's the one that figured out what the cerebellum is for and the pituitary gland is for, the endocrine system. He's the one that figured out in the West the relationship between respiration and the nervous system and the respiration and the pumping of cerebral spinal fluid up the back. Now, the East knew about that, you know, the whole Kundalini thing. But Swedenborg was the first one to bring that idea to the West. I know, totally cool, huh? He was a metallurgist. And Sweden, the country, was having some economic problems. And my boyfriend saved them with his mining techniques. And he really allowed them to become very successful in mining. And a lot of his mining safety techniques that he came up were used well over 100 years after he came up with them. He came up with a blueprint for a submarine. He came up with the first actual working hanging glider, long before the Wright brothers, that hangs in the Smithsonian. His government came to him and said, you know, dude, we have a little problem. We have our Navy over here, and for strategical, military, naval, nautical purposes, we actually need our Navy to come in over here. The problem is there's this huge rugged mountain range between where they are and where we need to be. Can you move them? And my boyfriend did it. And to tell you the truth, none of this like really impressed me. Then I found out that a few years back, Stanford University, you know, these days they're sitting around with nothing better to do than come up with more statistics. So they decided that what they wanted to do is that they wanted to figure out who the 10 most brilliant people who ever lived were. So they did their little egghead, you know, incubating on it. My boyfriend came in first.
Oh, okay.
Tied with 2 other people. One of the other people was actually highly influenced by Swedenborg, so I feel like that doesn't count. It kind of got a leg up. But Stanford University voted my boyfriend one of the smartest people to ever draw breath on the planet.
Wow.
And that still didn't impress me. I know, I'm a really tough date. What impressed me is why Swedenborg said he was doing this. And he said he was doing this, he was mastering every known science because he was driven by the need to know where the soul resides in the human experience. And that got my attention. I went, okay, he's not just another pretty face. That man's got soul. And he said that he realized where the soul resides in the human experience. And you'll have to buy the book. No, I'm only kidding. This is what he says. He says, you don't have a soul. You don't have a soul. I don't have a soul. George Bush doesn't have a soul. That was loaded, wasn't it? He said, you don't have a soul. He said, you are a soul. And there's a fundamental difference between having a soul and being a soul. Because having a soul implies I could take it from you. It could be lost. It could be stolen. It could be bent, folded, stapled, mutilated. But it's not true. I can't come up to you and put a gun to your head and say, okay, well, woman, give me all your soul. Okay, now I've got to collect your soul and then we're going to play. We don't have a soul. We are it. And he said our soul is the sum total of our will, our free will, our love, our service, and our life purpose. Isn't that beautiful? I mean, yeah, I know you're like thinking, no, he's my boyfriend now. Isn't that beautiful? The definition of the soul is the sum total of your will, your love, your service, and your life purpose. I mean, let's face it, I don't care how many hundreds of years ago that was written. That rocks! I love that. So Swedenborg went on to say some very important things. And one of the things that he says is that most of the problems that we have, most of our neuroses, our psychoses, our fears, our insecurities, are based on one thing. We don't know who and what we are. And when you know who and what you are, a lot of these fears and neuroses and psychoses, they disappear because they can't coexist in a mind that knows who and what it is. And this is one of the fundamental things. You don't have love. You are love. You don't have a soul. You are a soul. Now, you may be sitting here and you may be saying, okay, I knew that before the purple weirdo got up there. I already knew I didn't have love. I am love. And I want to challenge you. Because my suggestion is this. To know something intellectually is misleading. Because if you know it intellectually, you think, okay, I got it. I know it in my mind. But if you don't live it, you don't have it, and you don't really know it. So how many of you, when you get dumped on a date, when you go through divorce court, still know that you don't have love, you are it, and that no one and no thing on this planet has the power to change that? Yeah. Now we're getting into a little stickier territory, aren't we? And he says, follow this with me. You don't have love, you are it. He says, you know what that means? You don't have value and power and worth. You are it. Because when you love or lack for value, power, and worth, you can't. It's love. So if you get fired from your job and you can't pay your bills, do you know your value, power, and worth then? Or do most of us have a conditional relationship with it? If the conditions are right, I can be it. If the conditions aren't, I let the temporal world disenfranchise me from my spiritual identity. That's the problem. And that's where the fear and the neuroses and so psychoses come in, because your spiritual identity doesn't live in a vacuum. When it moves out, other nasty stuff moves in. And when you bring your spiritual identity back in, the other nasty stuff moves out. Don't you love that? Does that not, like, totally rock? Yeah. You can see what this got my attention. Now I'm being impressed. Now he's my boyfriend. Did you have your hand up back there, sweetheart?
Oh, no.
Oh, okay. You're so cute. You're allowed to. Oh, okay. Because I was going to say, sometimes people wait for a Q&A. It's a magical point that often doesn't exist in my talks because I might forget to say something about it. So if at any time you have a question to say, look, I got this situation going on in my life. I've got this challenge I'm working on. So let's just take your boyfriend's ideas and let's apply it to pulling my butt out of this fire right now. So if you have a question or you have some conundrum that you're working through and you want to say, look, I want to take this wisdom and I want to apply it practically to my life. Because let's face it, to me, wisdom that isn't practically utilized in your life, if it isn't pulling your butt out of the fire, it's meaningless. I mean, wisdom should be improving the quality of your life. And if it isn't, it's just kind of disembodied head stuff. And I think we got plenty of that. We don't need to had more effect to our collection. So if any time you have a question or you want to apply it to something in your life, put your paw up in the air, and everybody will turn and look at you and we'll all stare at you. Can't get me anywhere. So here's these radical ideas that have been around for thousands of years. But somehow when my boyfriend shares them, it's like Saul on the way to Damascus. The scales just fall from your eyes, and you're like, oh, finally, I get it. Pulls a lot of information that you've heard together, and it finally makes sense. So one of the things that I love about Emmanuel's wisdom is how liberating it is. You know that saying, the truth shall set you free? It's true, because one of the ways you know the truth is because it sets you free. And if you're giving your attention to something that isn't setting you free, it's nature's way of saying you haven't seen the truth of it. It's nature's way of saying whatever it is that you're giving your attention to, put down the gun, you madman. Step away from the false truth illusion, and no one will get hurt. And what I love about Emanuel Swedenborg's work is that when you apply it to your life, it sets you free. And anytime you can go through, no matter what the world is throwing at you, whether it's divorce court, whether it's a bill you can't pay, whether it's physical pain, whether it's been diagnosed with a disease, whatever it is that the world throws at you, and let's face it, the world's going to throw something at you. If you can walk through it and not let your spiritual identity take a hit, and you can walk through this and say, go ahead, do your best. I am divine love and wisdom in this moment. I am aligned with value, power, and worth, and there's nothing that you can do to stop that. There's nothing you can do to change that. As a matter of fact, everything that you throw at me infuses me more, aligns me more unconditionally with this truth. Because I know it seems like the world goes out of your way to, you know, annoy you. But the truth of the matter is that all of this is designed to unconditionally align us with the truth of who and what we are. And when you're in right relationship with who and what you are, and you're in right relationship with all the stuff that's thrown at you, it fuses you into alignment with being divine love and wisdom unconditionally. Because if you can do it on the planet Earth, in a bag of protoplasm, in the modern world, in the face of CNN and the Home Shopping Network, you have it. You can't be disenfranchised from it. And there's this really interesting concept of Emmanuel that I really, really like. It's called, I bet you know this, the initials are RL, ruling love. I love this idea of one's ruling love. And your ruling love is exactly what it sounds like. What love rules you? And remember, we're going on a very, in our contemporary society, radical definition of love. Because in our society, we think of love as just something I like, something I have an affinity for, something that has to do with romantic dinners and candlelights or little stuffed teddy bears. We think of it as something that has a Hallmark card look and feel to it. And in the spiritual realm, that is just so myopic. In the spiritual realm, if you're giving your attention to something, you're giving it your love. Because your love and your attention are indivisible. Because you don't have love, you are it. And your consciousness, your awareness is love. And love is the most powerful force in the universe. If there was another force more powerful than divine love and wisdom, it would win, and divine love and wisdom would be out. But it doesn't. Divine love and wisdom is the most powerful force in the universe. It wins. So when we're giving something our attention, we're infusing it with the most powerful force in the universe. Love is wholeness making. This is one of the reasons it's considered so powerful. If you've got grief and you've got sadness and you bring authentic love into it, it'll transform that grief and that sorrow and that sense of loss into love. So if you're going through your everyday life and you're worried, I don't have enough time, I have enough money, I don't have enough opportunity in my job, my butt is getting so big it's creating its own gravitational force. We do that, don't we, ladies? We're special. Then you love these things. I know, isn't that sobering? Isn't that shocking? I mean, nobody came to the planet Earth to build a monument to worry with their attention. Nobody came here to get in bed with limitation. But if you're giving it your attention, you are. Isn't that totally radical? Isn't it? And Emanuel Swedenborg says, I got a solution. It's real simple. If you find yourself giving your attention to something limiting, just stop. And give your attention to something that's not. Because what we give our attention to over and over and over again, we build a momentum to. And nobody came here to have a ruling love of worry and not good enough and insufficient, because it's a horrible ruling love. And one of the things I love about Swedenborg is that he says that it seems like we're living in this physical world, right? And I'm not saying that we don't. I mean, you know, surely that is inarguable. But at the same time, there's this invisible world that we live in simultaneously. And when you give your attention to something, it affects where you live in that invisible world. And he defines heaven as a place or a state of being that is unlimited, no limitation. It's beyond limitation. And hell is a place or a state of being that's right, you guessed it, limited. And when you give your attention to things that are limited, like, I don't have enough time. This isn't going to work out for me. No, I'm not going to get asked out on the date. I'm the last person that's going to get a raise. Yes, Carla.
Well, I wanted to make sure I got that question in.
Yes.
There's only about 20 or 30 full minutes of talk from you.
Oh, that was going to be my next question. How long was the time to get
raise? It's not enough time.
Oh, to stop? If you,
well, no, that that when the world is disenfranchising us, when you can come back with such conviction and see love and wisdom as a powerful force in your life and make it the ruling thing.
Okay. Great.
Great,
great, great, great. That's a great topic. I know a lot about being devastated by life. Ha ha! I majored in that. If you ever, next time you're on Wikipedia and you're online, look up suffering and it'll have my picture. I had a very challenging life. And so I've had plenty of opportunities to practice this wisdom, pulling my butt out of a myriad of different kinds of fires. And this is one of the things that I found extremely, extremely helpful. Swedenborg says, walk through this with me. Follow through with me. By the way, what's our time countdown on this, Carla? We got 5 minutes? Okay. Walk through this with me. You don't have love. You don't have it. You are it. You don't have divine love and wisdom. You be divine love and wisdom. So still follow this with me. As divine love and wisdom, how can you create a learning experience you didn't need? How can divine love and wisdom create a learning experience it didn't need? Now, there's a lot of things that divine love and wisdom can do, but create a learning experience of itself it didn't need isn't one of them. So when people ask you, can God make a rock so big that he can't pick it up, say, well, who cares about that, but you can't create a learning experience you don't need. Yeah, put that in your pipe and smoke it. So what that means is that every time you feel like you're being inconvenienced by reality, what's really going on is you're creating a learning experience that you need. Everything is designed to fuel the evolution of your soul. Swedenborg says that everything that's happening is exactly the fastest, most efficient way to reach enlightenment. You want to know why it's the fastest, most efficient way to reach enlightenment? Because you don't have the power to do anything else. What's that worth to you? So when life throws these things at us, Our job isn't to say, why me? Our job is to say, what can I learn from this? What can I get out of this? Can I stand in relationship with this experience knowing that I am divine love and wisdom? Because if you can, the force of the pressure of that situation is infusing the truth into you. And that's what it's designed to do. It's designed to enhance you. In other words, Swedenborg promises us, and what he learned about the spiritual side, and I didn't even get into how he knows that, but, well, you guys are in a Swedenborg church, there are plenty of people who can answer that question for you, why his information has value, how he came across it. But the bottom line is this. What he says he learned about the spiritual realm is this. Only what you need is ever allowed to touch your life. Because divine love and wisdom only sends you what you need when you need it. Isn't that groovy? So every time your ego is telling you, I could have lived without this, guess what? It's wrong. It's also wrong when it tells you that your butt's too big, but we already knew that. At any rate, I'm assuming that the sands of time are running their course. I hope if you have never heard of Emanuel Swedenborg, that you too are starting an infatuation that will grow into a beautiful love affair. And you're free to tell other people that he's your boyfriend too, I share. And if you already knew who Emanuel Swedenborg is, I hope that in our talk today, we shared a perspective that's useful to you in your life. And that what we all choose collectively and individually is that my ruling love is that I love showing up as a force of divine love no matter what the world throws at me. Because I came to the planet Earth to be divine love, I'm going to build a monument to divine love, and I'm absolutely not interested in anything else because my ruling love is embodying divine love and wisdom right here, right now, because I can. Yeah. Rock ha, babies. So thank you so much for having the Purple Freak here. Again, there's free copies of my internet radio. I have two internet radio shows. They're an hour of completely commercial-free because you are what you love, and you love whatever you give your attention to. And if you're going to give your attention to my radio show, I'm not going to sell you tampons. I'm going to bring you people and ideas that were designed for one thing, and that's to improve the quality of your life and the evolution of your soul. Because when we live in heaven, that's what we love. And there are books and, you guys got to see this. That's my card case. Isn't that groovy? That's not really what I wanted you to see. What I really wanted you to see was this. My favorite joke is I must have been a raccoon in another life because I'm fascinated by bright shiny objects. Anyway, this is the Spiritual Wild Child pen, and why I'm here is to decide that you would like to purchase one of the books, and there are a portion of the proceeds that go to the church. I will be happy to put my purple paw on it with the magic pen, and it just doesn't get any better than that. So thank you so much for having me here. I appreciate it. I got to meet a real genius while I was here. Wild woman, you rock. Namaste, and thank you so much, my beloveds. And if this is the only time we get, I'll see you in celestial heaven. You'll recognize me. I got the big purple house.